So I am going on a trip in 12 days. I leave for Mongolia and for China. I'm going for 5 weeks. I'll come back for 2 weeks, and then I leave again and go to Tibet. So I'm going to be doing a lot of traveling. And the thing is the Lord told me that I was going to be doing more traveling next year. So I'm looking forward to that. My wife isn't. She doesn't like it when I'm gone so long. But most of the time I try and go for at least a month. And the reason is because I find that in a month I can pretty much cover everything that I need to cover. When Pastor was teaching on 1 John, I was teaching on 1 John over in Mongolia. I did it for 5 years. When I was getting ready to transition into another message, the people, I went, it was going up, and everybody goes, "Oh, I know what you're going to preach on." So I knew it was time to move on. But I just really appreciate the pastor. I really appreciate the church. Everywhere I go, I brag on this church. I brag on the quality of the word. I brag on the people. It really, people probably think that, you know, this, you know, is just the most fantastic place. I believe it is. As far as the word goes, I haven't been any place else or heard from anyone else that with this quality of word. And, you know, that's something to really live up to. Amen. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. But before I start, I'm going to pray, but I'm also going to quote in Ephesians chapter 1. Father, I just thank you for this day that you made for us, Father God. And Father, I just thank you that we remember all the things, Father, that you brought to our remembrance, Father, today. And as I speak, Father God, I thank you that the people are, their ears are going to be open to hear, Father. Father, they're going to take it into heart, Father God, so that they're going to apply it to their lives. And Father, I just give you the praise and glory for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 1, I think it's verse 3, it says, I'm not going to quote the whole verse, but it says that God chose us before the world was formed. And that part, God chose us. When I first got saved, I thought I chose him. And then I read this verse and I go, what? He chose me. He chose me before I chose him. And when he chose us, it still was up to us to accept what he did. And so when we accepted him, all the benefits that he had for us were ours. But the thing is that God didn't just choose us to save us from something. He chose us for something. He chose us for something. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And it says, "For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And that's what I want to talk today about. The very first time I went to Mongolia, I went with a group of people. I think there were 7 of us. And we went and went to a little countryside village. And after service, they brought me over to this lady. And this lady had a little baby. Probably, I don't know, maybe 5 weeks old. She tells me that this baby's going to die. That's what the doctors told her. This baby's going to be dead within a week. I was like, no, that's not going to happen. And out of me rose this. This baby's going to live. That's what I told her. This baby is going to live. This baby had a tumor in its brain. The whole side of its face was just slumped down. I mean, things look bad for this baby. But God had a different plan. So I didn't hear. I prayed for this baby and left. Didn't hear anything. 2 years later, a lady wanted to meet with me. And so I met with this lady. And she goes, "Do you remember me?" Of course I didn't, you know. I mean, I remember faces pretty good, but I didn't remember this lady at all. I told her, "No, I don't remember you." She goes, "You prayed for my baby." Immediately that incident came to my mind. And she goes, "I took my baby to the doctor the next day, and they couldn't find anything." You see, that was one of those good works that God prepared in advance that I'd do. Now, it wasn't me that healed the baby. I couldn't do anything, you know. I was looking at that baby. I'm going, "Man, there's no hope." That's what I was thinking. God had a different plan. I don't think that now when I pray for people. But at the time, that was the way I was thinking. Because, you know, I mean, every once in a while somebody would get healed. And you know, I was kind of, okay, well, you know, they get healed, whatever. But I found that there's things that you can do for people to get healed almost all the time. About 3 years after I got saved, I was at I was getting my tires changed at a place, and it was in a big kind of mall area. And so I was walking outside waiting for my tires to be changed. And I'm talking to God, and I said, "God, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Whatever you want, God, I'll do it." And, you know, I had prayed that before. This time, God said, "Okay." I was like, "Uh-oh, I'm in trouble." He goes, "I want you to go pray for that man." First thing out of my mouth wasn't, "Okay, God, I'll go pray for that man." First thing that came out of my mouth was, "Hey, I don't know that guy." You know, I don't know that guy. If I go up there and pray for this guy, man, he might hit me. You know, if I could lay hands on this guy, you know, he might just punch me. And, you know, silence. I was like, "Oh, man. God, I'm so sorry. I guess I wasn't ready, you know?" But I started thinking about it. Number one, God didn't ask me to go lay hands on the guy. He just said, "Go up and pray for him." That was one thing. Second thing is, this guy's 90 years old with a walker. He's holding onto it with both hands. You know, he couldn't have hit me if he tried. But inside of me, there was a fear that if I went up there and started praying for somebody, it wasn't going to happen. Then what was I going to look like? You know what? It's not up to me to heal somebody. But I wasn't to that point yet. See, if we're unwilling to obey God in one area, that unwillingness carries into other areas of our life. It's not just one area that's there. It's a whole bunch of areas. And so as I grew in Christ, as I started to go into Him farther, I started seeing areas in my life that needed changing. And as I changed those areas in my life, then the things of God started happening more and more. There was I went 1 year, and it was another countryside church, and it was like 100 degrees out. I'm there in shorts and a t-shirt, and just sweating because I'm standing outside. There were so many people that wanted me to pray for them that we couldn't do it in the little room that they had. We started out in this little room. It was about 15 by 15. But it got so crowded in there with people that I couldn't even turn around. I couldn't even move. And I said, "We need to go outside." And so I went outside. And as I started praying for people, a man came up to me. And this man, his eyes were completely white. He couldn't see anything. So I prayed for him. Nothing happened. That didn't stop me. I prayed for him again. And slowly his eyes started to get clearer and clearer and clearer. It took about a half an hour. But you know what? After that half an hour, that man could see better than I could. But that was just the first thing that happened. A lady brought me this girl. She was 10 years old. This girl had been dropped on her head at the hospital when she was born. She couldn't see. She couldn't hear at all. And so they just kind of took her around. The mom brought her up to me, and I prayed for this girl. This girl's eyes opened immediately. She could see. And, I thought, well, okay, God healed her eyes, but what about her hearing? All of a sudden, about a quarter mile away, there was a big, loud boom. This girl turned around and looked right in that direction. And I said, this girl can hear. And then, all of a sudden, she lets out this huge scream. Because think of all the input that she was getting at one time. She put her hands over her ears. She couldn't stand all the sound. But she could hear and she could see. After 10 years, God healed that girl. Now I can tell you story after story about God healing people. And, it'll build your faith. But the thing is God's not a respecter of persons. If he'll do that for me, he'll do it for you. See, because God called us all, and there's no second place jobs with God. He doesn't have, this is a first place job, this one's a second. Hey, you know what? You're way down here, you're 10th. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. Every job is just as important as the other one. So what God's called you to do may not be the same thing as what God's called me to do, but it's just as important to the kingdom of God as what I do, or what pastor does, or what any of us do. Every single one of you has works to do for God. But if you don't seek after them, you're never going to know what they are. As I was seeking after God about what to share, he told me to share this message. It's not the message that I wanted to share, but it's the message that he wanted me to share. Because there's people in here, and you've been discouraged because you've stepped out with God and nothing's happened. He's called you to come up and give a word, but you've been afraid to get up and do it because you're not sure it's God. You know what? Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody does. When I first got saved, my dad got cancer. I went down and prayed for him. You know what? He died anyway. It didn't stop me from believing what God's word said. I just turned to God and I said, my dad died. I don't know why. I said, but I know your word's true. So if I'm not doing what I need to do, if it's me that, caused it from happening, let me know what I need to do in my life. Because when you're laying hands on somebody, you have a part in it too. If you're laying hands on somebody in unbelief, guess what? Most likely they're not going to get healed. You have to believe what you're doing. You have to believe it with all your heart. And you see, God's looking for people. He's looking for believers who'll dedicate themselves to him so that they can do what he's asked them to do. And that's what it takes, dedication. It takes spending time in prayer. I'm reminded of a story about John Knox. John Knox was over in England, I think, in the 1400s, 1500s. This man was so powerful in prayer that Mary, Queen of Scots, she said to him, I'm more afraid of his prayers than I am of all the armies in the world. That's a pretty powerful statement. That's a pretty powerful statement. The same man was sitting there praying before he went to preach. There's snow on the ground. He kneels down, lays his coat down, kneels down, and starts praying at this stump. 5 hours later, all the around him in a big circle, all the snow's melted. This man had been watching, been spying on him. And he went up there to see after John Knox got up and left. He went on there to see what was going on. How come the snow's all melted here? The minute he stepped into that circle, he went down because the power of God was so strong. Prayer works. I rely on that. I rely on what God said in his word about prayer for people to be healed. See, if you don't have the word on the inside of you, not just in there, but in there to overflowing, how can you do what God's called you to do? Now, I know that there's people here that God's called. I know there are. But you're not doing the things that you need to do to fulfill that calling. I know there's people here that God has more work for you to do. You think you're done, but you're not. Because God has more. You know, I look forward to keeping going until he takes me home. I'm not going to stop. I retired from my job, but I went into full-time ministry because of it. See, I just went from one job to the other. I didn't stop. I didn't stop working. Now, there's somebody here, and God actually told you to get up and give a word today, but you didn't think it was God. It was. There are people here today that you need healing in your body. You need healing in your body. Some of you are standing believing that you're going to get healed. That's great. But you can be healed today. You can be healed today. I'd injured my back in my early 20s. Injured it pretty bad. The doctor told me actually that later on I was going to have surgery, have my backbone, have it fused together because of it. It was hurt that bad. As I was going along, I was believing God for healing. And it kept getting worse, and it kept getting worse, and it kept getting worse. And I told God one day, I'm driving along, and my back hurts so bad I couldn't sit. I was going to pull over, pull off the road so that I could stand for a little bit to relieve the pain. I just told God, I said, you know what? You want me to do all this traveling. How am I going to do it? I can't even sit down for an hour without being in pain. How can I sit for 10 hours? How can I sit for 5 hours? I can't do it. My back popped so loud and hurt so bad for a second, and my back was totally healed. Totally healed. I was in shock. I was like, wow, that's all it took? That's all it took, going to God and saying, look, you called me, and if you don't heal this, you know, I'm not going to be able to do what you say. 10 years, almost 10 years to the day, I waited to be healed. You know what? I was believing I was healed on the very first day that the doctor told me that. Because when the doctor told me that, I turned to the doctor and said, you know what? I don't believe that. That's what I told him. I don't believe that. You know, the symptoms, they didn't go away right away. But after I got healed, I've never had a problem with my back again. Never. The thing is if God's not a respecter of persons, if God heals blind people, if God opens ears, If he does all this, heals cancers, I've seen it all. If he does all that, then why do you still have what you have? God's not a respecter of persons. He's not. When I was working, I jumped about 4 feet. There was ice, and my foot slipped out and then slipped back. When I did that, I tore my ACL and my PCL, both sides. So my knee would go in and out like this. It hurt. When you see those football players and they get hit and all of a sudden they're grabbing their knee, guess what? They probably tore one of those. I tore both of them. So I'm sitting there, my knee's all swollen, I'm in pain, and I'm going, man, I need to go to the doctor. And I was in so much pain, I couldn't get up to walk. And I said, how come I can lay hands on people and they get healed? I pray for this, and nothing happens. He goes, lay hands on your knee. You know what? It never occurred to me to do that. Lay hands on my knee, really? I laid hands on my knee. You know what? Pain instantly went. I went into a specialist, and he's wiggling my knee all around. He goes, this doesn't hurt? I said, no. There's no pain there whatsoever. He goes, I don't know how. He said, but, you know, if it doesn't hurt, there's no sense in us doing anything. Praise God. He said, if we got to do surgery, you're going to be out for 6 to 8 months. I was like, wow, okay. Anyway, God healed my knee. He did it. You know, you can lay hands on yourself and be healed. Do you know I haven't been to a chiropractor pretty much since I got saved? Well, since he healed my back. I haven't been to a chiropractor. Because I found that I can pray for myself and God will put my back into alignment. He's done it ever since I started. And so there's no need for me to go. If he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. Just in case you don't believe that God's not a respecter of persons, you can go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, God shows personal favoritism to no man. God shows favoritism to no man. Do you know it actually says pretty much the same thing? I think there's one in Acts and one in Romans. Say almost exactly the same thing. If God doesn't show favoritism, if he does the same thing for everyone, then we need to be doers of the word. And not just hearers. We have so much word on the inside of us, but we're not using it. So it's not doing us any good. It's good to hear a message. But when you put it into action, that's when your faith starts growing. If your faith isn't growing, then you're not doing what you need to do to fulfill the works that God has for you. Now, if God planned those works, and you've done some of them, and you think, oh, I'm done, it doesn't stop until you die. God has works for you to do. Clear up until the time you die. You'll never fulfill all of them. That's my own opinion. That's my opinion. You'll never fulfill all the things that God has for you to do. And so, I really want to encourage everybody to step out, go beyond yourself, and lay hands on people and get them healed. Believe God for the miracles. believe God that you have that word that that person needs. I counseled a lady 5 years ago and never heard from her. I counseled with her, and when I went over in May, she talked to me. She said, I said, "Wow, where you been?" She said, "I've been doing what you told me to do." I said, "Well, praise God, you know. That's good news, you know. It's good to hear, because most people don't do what you counsel them to do." And she goes, "You told me to keep my eyes on Jesus and not on man." She said, "That was the best advice I've ever had." Her life totally changed. Before, all the things that happened in church and all the things that people said had driven her away from God. They drove her away. And that was the only thing that I could give her that would change that. And it did. She's happily married now. She's got a baby on the way. You know, she said, "I am so happy." And she was. She was beaming from ear to ear the last time I saw her 5 years ago. She was so downtrodden, she was going to give up on everything. She had actually thought about committing suicide. It was that bad. Because of things that people had told her. So you never know when you might have that one word that somebody needs to hear. You never know. I went over to, when I was over in Mongolia, they asked me to go pray for this little girl. So I went in with the pastor and prayed for her. This little girl was dying. Her arms were so thin. If you've ever seen somebody that is has malnutrition, it's a terrible thing to see. This girl was 10 years old. When I went up to her, first thing I said to her wasn't, "Well, I'm going to pray for you." First thing I asked her, "Honey, do you want to die?" She goes, "No." And I said, "You have to eat something. You have to. Because if you don't eat, you're going to die." All the doctors over there, they couldn't find anything wrong with her. But there was obviously something wrong. I went back 6 months later. This girl was in the hospital. Notice, I had prayed for her before. 6 months later, she's in the hospital. I walk into the room. Like 2 seconds after I get into this room, the doctor comes in and says, "This girl's going to die." I said, "Oh, no, she's not. This girl's going to live." And I said, "You'll see." That's what I told the doctor. I was talking to him. I said, "You'll see. I'm going to pray for her, and she's going to get better." So I prayed for this girl, left, didn't hear anything. A year later, the pastor's wife came up to me and says, "I'm so sorry." I said, "For what?" "Oh, about that little girl." I said, "What about that little girl?" "Oh, she died." The person that was with me goes, "Oh, no, she isn't. She's not dead. She's down with her mom down in the capital city." I said, "Really?" "Oh, yeah, she's totally healed." I didn't hear for all that time, but I was believing God that that girl was healed. I was shocked when that pastor's wife said that to me. I was like, "Really?" You know what? Not everybody you pray for is going to get healed. Not everybody that you pray for is going to live. I have prayed for people. They've died. You know, it hurts. But you don't know where that person's at. There are people that I've prayed for, and I'll tell them that they're healed, and they'll say, "Oh, no, I'm going to die." I mean, how can you counteract that? One lady, this pastor's mom, I went, and for 3 hours I tried to convince her to change what she was saying. She was a doctor. I prayed for her. God told me she was healed. First thing out of her mouth is, "No, I'm going to die. I'm a doctor. I know." She chose to die over what the Word of God said. There was nothing I could do. And that's what I finally had to tell these people, this pastor and his wife. I had to tell them, "I'm sorry. I tried to convince her, but she's convinced she's going to die. And that's what's going to happen." Sure enough, 2 months later, she was dead because of her mouth. So we can't dictate what's going to happen. There are a lot of different variables. But if we're faithful, then God can move. If we step out and get out of ourselves and just move out with God, those things will happen. Not for just me, for every single one of you. How do I know? Because God says it in His Word. He tells us that we'll do the things that Jesus did. Every single one of us. That's not just for special people. Every one of you is special. Every one of you. Every one of you can do the things of God. So I'm challenging you today to do the things of God. One more. I'm in this line. I'm praying for people. There were so many people. I just closed my eyes and said, "Just bring them up to me. Tell them to give me their hands." So I'm just got my eyes closed and I'm just sitting there praying for one after another. All of a sudden I get up there and I say, "Okay, give me your hands." Nothing. I said, "Give me your hands." And I hear the translator saying it to the person. Nothing. I said it one more time. "Give me your hands." Nothing. I opened my eyes. And this girl had hands coming right out of her shoulder. Her shoulders were, she had no arms. She's sitting there trying to give me her hands. Do you know what? I lost faith because of what I saw. God's telling me, "John, there's no difference. John, there's no difference." I said, "I know. But what I saw so shook me that I didn't have the faith for that girl to be healed. I lost faith. She had faith. I didn't. She was believing she was going to be healed. But I didn't even have faith to pray for her." A lot of times we're moved by what we see. These eyes, you know what? They'll lie to you every time. They'll tell you that you can't. They tell you that there's no way. And yet, if I would have just kept my eyes closed and grabbed those hands, that lady would have been healed. Okay, hold on. One more. This is so funny. About 4 years after I got saved, I'm sitting with a friend of mine in church. The pastor there was preaching a good message. I'm listening, you know, I'm really intent on what he's saying. All of a sudden, my friend, who was sitting right next to me, just starts snickering and laughing, and I elbowed him, "Knock it off, you know, I'm trying to listen." And he didn't say anything. He just started busting up again, and I'm like, I elbow him again, "Would you stop it? You know, I'm trying to listen to what the pastor has to say." He leans over to me and he goes, "God told me to go pray for that lady." I'm like, "So go pray for her. You know, I'm trying to listen to the message. You know, don't bother me." And he goes, leans over and again, he goes, "No, you don't understand. God told me to go pray for that lady's leg." So I kind of look, you know, to see this lady. She's in a wheelchair. I didn't think anything of it. I says, "So go do it, you know." I'm thinking, oh yeah, you know, he's going to pray for the lady and she's going to get up and get out of the wheelchair. He goes, leans over to me again. He goes, "She doesn't have a leg. This lady had no legs. God told her to told him to go pray for her leg. He said to do that. And I said, well, are you going to do it? He goes, no. He was moved by what he saw. He was moved by what he saw. But we don't have to be moved by what we see. All we have to do is be moved by what God's word says. I can't heal anybody. I can't cause miracles. You know what? I can't read your mail. God can. I've watched him do it. All those things. I've watched him tell people things that they've forgotten, and he's reminded them. One lady came up to me and wanted me to pray. And I said, I looked at her and God put this in my spirit. He says, ask her if she remembers what happened 10 years ago. So I said, do you remember what happened 10 years ago? She goes, no. I started telling her what God told her when she was on her knees in the front of a church. I told it to her word for word. This lady broke down crying because God had given her instructions and she hadn't done it. You know what he said? He didn't say, well, you failed. He said, I'm waiting for you to do that. See, God is waiting on us. He's waiting on us. And he'll continue to wait on us because of his grace and mercy for us. Because he loves us that much, he'll wait on us until we do those things that he desires for us to do. Or we go home, one or the other. Amen? So I just want to encourage you, step out and do the things of God, those things that he's called you to do. I'm going to pray for people. I want anybody that needs healing in their body, I want them to come up here.
One thing about receiving a healing, you got to leave body language out of the situation. Praise God. Praise God. That's the greatest victory I've ever had in physical healing, is the minute that I took note that I received it, I ignored anything that my natural mind or body would tell me. And it was gone. Sometimes you don't even recognize it when it goes. But you know, somebody said, well, how can you ignore pain? Just ignore it. You know? That's the body language that does not determine our faith to receive anything from God. Ushers, let's get ready to receive an offering for John. He's a worthy minister. He's one we like to represent overseas. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending John Duclos our way when we started the church. And Father, he's been a wonderful minister ever since. Man of integrity, man who loves you and wants the best that you have to offer for people. Father, I thank you for his growth, especially his spiritual growth. And today as we receive an offering for him, just speak to people what you'd have them to give. Father, they will be obedient to that. And Father, we trust that his every need will be met. For him and Diane, his wife, we just thank you for them being a part of our life. We look forward to the miracles that will take place in the future through his ministry, through the laying on of hands. And Father, just increase his anointing. And everybody said, Amen. John, you leave in 12 days. And of course we already have our missionary fund. We have already, the church has already got funds that are prepared for all of our missionaries. We have a crew that's going to be going to the Philippines, John. And so whenever you think about giving into the missionaries' funds, if you can give a little extra, please do. That will help defray some of the costs. We're going to have several people go to the Philippines and check up on By His Word there. We have two churches now, By His Word, right? In the Philippines. Is there more now? There is? Three? Oh, praise God. We got three By His Words there in the Philippines. In Mindanao? All of them? A couple outreaches outside of Mindanao. Wow. Terrorist capital of the world. It's a good place to have By His Word. Well, let's say a prayer of dismissal. Have you got all our money? Okay. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, especially for the anointing, the healings that you provided here this afternoon. And so, Father, may people go their way and be blessed, and may they have a wonderful day. And Father, we thank you so much for John Duclos and his wife Diane. And Father, may their ministry increase. Give them a double anointing, Lord, for his ministry and his life. We appreciate and love them both so much. And Father, we just trust that everything that your people give to him will prosper in their hands in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You guys have a safe trip home, safe trip back tonight. God bless you.